This is the Anatomy of a Scream Pod Squad Network.
Don't be a pussy. Laser my fucking tits.
Hello, and welcome to The Girls on the Boys, a podcast dedicated to analyzing the Amazon series The Boys and the spicy world of soups and stereotypes. I'm Jen Adams.
And I'm Rachel Reeves.
And today we're talking about Season 3, Episode 4, Idiot Brains Getting Fucked by Stupid, one of my favorite phrases of all time, also known as Glorious Five-Year Plan. That is the for real title of the episode. Very excited to talk about this episode, Rachel. A number of really cool things happen, really funny things, really shocking things. So.
Oh, yeah. No, there was genuine moments where I was like, okay, wait, what? That Lots of genuine surprise moments. So,
and I'm really excited to hear, like, as we go through, which ones you kind of saw coming and which ones not. Because there are some that I feel like are a little bit telegraphed, but that also could be me watching it from the perspective of knowing what's going to happen and, like, you know. Anyways, let's get right to it. Before we talk about this episode, though, let's go to our first category, Huey, Cutie, and the News. So do we have any updates on season four?
Yeah, well, once again, you know, I'm at a loss for news about season four and, you know, what can we expect. But in a weird twist, we've got news regarding season five.
Huh.
Season five.
Hey, I'll take it. I mean, yeah. I want season five.
Yeah. So Kripke has always said that he kind of envisioned The Boys to be a five season run show. But he also said the same thing for Supernatural. And look what happened
That.
So, yeah, season five, filming on The Boys. Season five is scheduled to occur between April 8th to August 22nd, 2024. However, an official renewal has not been confirmed by Prime. So this is one of those weird things. It popped up on apparently there's something called the Film and Television Industry Alliance, and they have to post, like, production schedules for things. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, this popped up on that list about that it's in development, and this is when it's scheduled to be happening and filming. So it hasn't been actually officially announced that it's been renewed, but yet this is what's currently slated for filming. So sounds like it's happening.
And that's right around the corner too. Like, we're recording this in late mid-February. So, like,
yeah,
that's not too far away. I cannot imagine them not renewing it for season
five. Oh, no.
They would start the production without at least having some kind of idea, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, ratings have always been good. I'm sure it's just they probably want to figure out when season four is coming out before they announce season five publicly. But I'm not sure what the holdup is there.
That is a good point. Yeah, we still don't actually know if we're ever going to get season four. It's like Salem's Lot at this point, you know?
I know. It's got to be, like, it's filmed, it's wrapped. I don't understand. Like, and it's not like it requires, you know, like a regular TV kind of schedule thing, like it's streaming. Like,
right.
what's the issue? I don't know, but I'm sure there's something holding it up. But whatever.
Maybe they're waiting for Homelander's birthday to make a special announcement.
Oh yeah, maybe
capitalize.
Well, and it seems like they always kind of do something really cool. Like, they have, like, they, like, screen the first few episodes and have, like, a big premiere, like a public thing. So I'm sure there's some stuff behind the scenes that are holding it up that they need to get worked out. But hey, season five, I guess we'll be able to talk about that at some point.
Yeah, festival season is right around the corner too. So, you know,
It
could be. Well, actually, it's probably already started that, you know.
They're going to fly in. Yep, Homelander will fly in and make a public announcement.
You know, especially thinking about this episode, though, it's interesting to think about production because, like, you know, I follow a lot of them on social media and, like, they post a lot of behind the scenes pictures and stuff. And, like, you know, you got to be careful when you're like posting pictures about who's in season five, because as we see in this episode, we are not promised these people in our lives forever.
I know.
RIP Supersonic. Oh. All right. Well, before I start crying, let's talk about in our next category, the name of the game. And this episode is called Gloria's 5-Year Plan. And our description: tonight, streaming live exclusively for soupporn.com. Sometimes I launch into these things and I forget what it is I'm actually going to be reading. And then yeah. I just kind of barrel head first into Clash of the Dildos. Hold on. Let me start that again. Tonight, streaming live exclusively for soupporn.com. Super subscribers, it's the hashtag Clash of the Dildos. Which of the 7 inspired dildos will crush the competition in this tip-to-tip challenge? Will it be the reigning champion Homeland or Star Spangled Banger or Starlight's Electrified Starburetor? Join us as we put these pleasure-pounding penetrators through their paces. Only on soupporn.com. That is some A-plus alliteration, man.
Oh, my gosh.
Pleasure-pounding penetrators through their paces.
You know, somebody just had... I don't know who writes these, but they must have so much fun. It must have been really proud.
I mean, this kind of stuff, when you just have freedom to do whatever the fuck you want, you know?
Like, oh, yeah.
I don't know if any of our listeners noticed, but last time for our episode 3 in honor of hashtag Homelander or hashtag Homelight, I subtitled our episode hashtag GenRage. So, you know, just like when there are absolutely no stakes and you can just kind of play around and do whatever you want.
Yeah.
It's very fun. Well, so tell us about this episode.
Yeah, yeah. So this episode, again, is directed by Julian Holmes, who we talked about last week because he also directed episode 3. And so I'm not going to go back into him a whole lot because also dude's pretty secretive. And so I don't really know anything about him. But it got me thinking just about the style of these episodes a little bit. And I guess I was pretty impressed, especially with this one, watching it, just kind of how elevated, to use that word, but just how elevated they both felt. You know, there is a lot of action and there is a lot of humor, obviously. We've got a whole scene with multiple dildos. but it did feel like a lot more serious, I guess, in some ways, and kind of less comedic than some of the other episodes. And, you know, just to be clear about that, that's not a bad thing by any means. I think we see a lot of really serious kind of character development. And I just really appreciated the extra weight and consideration that was given to that. It felt like, I don't know, like you're watching prestige kind of television, right? Like, or like The Sopranos or something. Like, I actually felt like this was like another level that this show was able to hit. And we've seen this before, but yeah, this episode was really good and a lot happens, but I think it was just handled so well that actually, especially with the character development and character stuff.
Yeah, I really agree. I don't think I'd really thought about it too much because you're kind of just along for the ride, you know?
Yeah.
But like, and we were talking off air, I just saw Dune 2 last night. So I've been really thinking about like really densely plotted stuff with also like a lot of action. And I think that movie and this episode and the show in general does a really good job of balancing all of that. So it doesn't ever feel like a very special episode, you know, or like a throwaway explodey episode, you know?
Yeah.
And it's this one, I think, really does kind of go out of its way to give us some quiet moments with characters, like the way this episode opens, you know, with MM just having that kind of memory with his family, you know. And it is really endearing, but also there are huge set pieces that happen.
Oh, yeah.
There are like really big things that happen in this episode. So, yeah, I think very, very well done. Well, let's, I have, the skis bag guy from 30 Rock saying, like, skip to the penetration because I'm just in porn mode right now, I guess. so let's do, our next category, which is Sup with the Soups. This is a section where we recap what's been happening and meet our fearless soups and boys where they are. So the Deep is back in the 7. Also, Supersonic joins the team. A-Train is interested in social justice. Homelander is insane and really starting to feel himself, especially since all the white men love his new no-fucks attitude. He bravely reveals to the world that he and Starlight are in love, and she is terrified. Hashtag Homelight, which is just perfect. All right, let's do our bad boys. Okay, so we've been kind of teasing this guy quite a bit, and we finally see Soldier Boy, like, in the present tense. So, first off, we got to talk about that solid gold thing, but, like, did you see it coming that he is not dead?
Yes, I did. That is a prediction that has come true, so I'm happy about that. I didn't know when, but as soon as they said Russia, I was like, oh, he's probably hiding out in Russia somewhere. So I felt I was like, he's alive. You know, how they've contained him all these years, I'm not really sure. And, you know, I think Butcher says something about his powers seem like they've done something to him. So very excited to learn more about him, because he's here, baby. He's not dead after all.
And he's naked.
I know. We get some naked boys in this one. Multiple.
We do. I know. And it makes, and you know what is great about the show? One of the reasons I love it is there was a perfect opportunity for a lot of naked ladies in this show, because we have that whole, like, all of the sex workers, you know, but they're all mostly covered, and it's the dudes who have their asses out, which I love. So thank you, Kripke. but he, so he kind of bookends the episode a little bit. We have this devastating little coda at the end with Starlight, but, like, we are introduced to him as on solid gold, which is just, like, so funny. He is the whitest person ever, but, like, he's got a lot of, like, Burt Reynolds kind of energy to him, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so hot, so dreamy, but also such a scumbag, you know?
And, like, I love that he was singing Rapture, which was funny because I was actually just listening to that the day before I watched this. So I was like, oh, okay. Like, I don't know. It was just, like, Rapture was in my periphery. And, you know, that was kind of the first mainstream rap song, considered, like, the first rap song to be on, like, TV and stuff, which is funny because it's Blondie. I guess it's I just feel like that was a very conscious choice to have him singing that song. And then also MM's wearing, like, an NWA shirt in that scene, so I found that very amusing. Of course he would be, like, rapping and taking ownership of that.
Oh, of course. And just because he can too, and it's like, I feel like I don't know, when we compare him to Homelander too, and how obsessed Homelander is with his energy, or like with his image and his approval points, it feels like Soldier Boy really kind of existed at a time before that, where you could, if you were a white man who was attractive and had powers, you could do anything you wanted, you know?
Yeah, I do like that about Soldier Boy. He does seem to have a sense of humor somewhat. Like, Homelander has none of that. Like, Homelander would never put himself in a position like that to, like, potentially look stupid. You know, like, he's always got kind of a mask. Oh, he does, like, have a mask on, except right now, I guess. But he's always presenting himself a certain way. And so I do get the impression that Soldier Boy doesn't have that same issue. I guess we'll find out as we get to know him more and more. But what we've seen, it does seem like we're kind of, oh, okay, this is what you get with him, and this is who he is.
Yeah. And it is interesting because we do see two very different Soldier Boys. We see Soldier Boy at the very beginning, who is very polished and, you know, he's very much in the limelight and, like, being the leader of a super team. And then we see what he is now. He's got this super scruffy beard, you know, he's, like, kind of stumbling around. And then he has this power, like, this beam of light that, like, emits from his chest. And we can probably talk more about that when we get to our Spice Girls category. But it is just interesting to see who he was and who he is now, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And just, like, okay, so he's just been locked up in this chamber for, wait, how long has it been? I mean, he's been in there, like, decades, right?
Yeah. It's been,
I'm a little,
like,
fuzzy on the timeline, but
yeah. I think, what was that, the '80s, I think, when they were in Nicaragua?
Yeah, it must have been. Yeah.
So it's definitely been little, decades. So,
yeah. Wow. Okay. But yeah. What's he been doing?
I think it was around, they said it was like a power plant. That was what the cover story was. He died right. trying. Yep. So that would be around Chernobyl, which I believe was 86, I think. So yeah, mid to late 80s.
Is this why you like watching Chernobyl so much? Because you're like,
I mean, it's not the whole reason, but it is a big part of the reason. Yeah. I just love when a soldier boy shows up in the third episode of Chernobyl and saves them all. Well, let's talk about Homelander. It was nice to start this episode talking about someone that's not Homelander, you know, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. as much as I love him, like I will never get tired of talking about Homelander, but it's interesting to have a new person. And I put him in the bad boys category, but we don't really know yet, you know, and
that's
I feel
true.
Like there are a couple of flip flops in this episode of people like, what side are they on, you know?
Yeah, TBD.
Yeah. Not TBD is Homelander, though. He
no.
is definitely no. bad. And he is just kind of really relaxing into feeling himself. He's fucking around with Huey and Starlight, talking to Mucker Marlson, Cameron Coleman, about the mainstream media. And one of the reports, like I just kind of jotted down a whole bunch of stuff I heard that kind of pricked up my ears, but like somebody, like I don't know, a journalist or something is saying it's scary to see a man that strong riled up, which is what we've been talking about since mm-hmm. like episode one. And it's interesting to see that finally coming out in the media now
yeah.
and for him to have like a counter narrative for it, you know?
Yeah, that not everybody is seeing it as a positive thing. And mm-hmm. not everybody is embracing it. And yeah, I couldn't help but notice like his language too in that interview. You know, he was saying lots of, you know, these people are the issue. They're in the shadows and these like shadow operation and the powerful people. And it's just very vague who he's talking mm-hmm. about. And while... yeah, he probably could, you know, single out Edgar. He doesn't, but just saying that there's lots of puppets pulling the strings at Vought. I don't know. He's saying a lot, but also not saying anything.
mm-hmm. But he's planting seeds too.
Oh yeah,
you know,
oh, yeah.
because
very fear mongering kind of language, just unsettling stuff, but actually not saying anything really.
Right. But and that's, I mean, you know, it's a direct parallel to someone else, actually many people now that we see do this kind of stuff. And it's like, if you're vague enough, mm-hmm. it's not quite a dog whistle, but or it's not as specific as a dog whistle, but it definitely plants seeds with the right people. And if you're vague enough, no matter what happens down the road, you can make it look like you predicted it or it goes with this narrative, you know?
Or just kind of have plausible deniability, right? Like, oh, mm-hmm. that wasn't what I meant. No, they, you
exactly.
know, they took what they wanted from it, but I never said that. That's not who I was talking about. You know, if it's, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, you were. That's exactly what you said.
Exactly. Gaslighting to the extreme, you know?
Yeah. Is Homelander, is he tan in this episode?
He does look a little tan. I know. Hey, he is in a relationship now, okay? He has to look his best for the cover of, what is it, Rolling Stone, I think?
Yeah.
They're the hottest ship in town.
I'm sure it's intentional, but I was like, no, he's definitely, like, he's tan.
Uh-huh. Like, I don't have to worry anymore. I can do whatever the fuck I want. What if mm-hmm. he has a tanning bed? I wonder if he would malfunction a tanning bed. You know,
like
I've also
like
recently seen Lisa Frankenstein.
I was going to say, like, Lisa Frankenstein.
Yeah, so that's on my brain, too. Yeah, and I mean, speaking of gaslighting, too, like, this episode, you know, you said he doesn't really seem to have a sense of humor about himself. And I think you're exactly right. Like, he would never make himself look stupid or do anything that even came close to that. But he is all about the, is it a joke, is it not, in this episode? You know, like, you're a sound sleeper, Starlight, and signing Huey's cast and, like,
yeah.
the taco bowls, which, again, another just direct, you know, shout out to, I don't know if shout out's the word I want, a direct reference to
yes.
something else I'm sure our listeners are aware of.
He's just, I feel like he just feels so empowered now in a way. Like, he I mean, he's always been an asshole, right? But I do feel like he was a little bit more sly about it. He would do things when others weren't around. He would do things. But now he's just blatantly out in the open, just being hugely offensive and hugely rude and just doesn't care in a way, because it's like, oh, nobody's going to call me out at this point. And also some people like this. So I'm not going to – I don't have to say this behind – you know, closed doors. I don't have to say this when it's just me in Starlight or just me in the Deep or just me in A-Train. Like, I can just say this stuff all the time. And yeah, and nobody is really checking him.
Yeah.
And that's, like, even when, like, Starlight tries to, he just, like, I don't know, demeans her and, like, it's just kind of takes that power away from her. And it's just really gross to see.
Oh yeah, and you know, we're probably going to talk about the very end of this episode in the next category, but like that moment where she is about to like blast him and he just kind of laughs her off and she's like, no, you know, he doesn't even take her seriously as a threat either. And it's like, I wonder if we would have ever gotten this version of Homelander without Stormfront, you know, because I think that he learned a lot from her. But he's also like, he's done the thing. He's said the thing he wanted to say. And he did get backlash, but not as much as he thought. And he found, like, it's not as bad as he thought it was going to be. So, like, fuck it, you know? Also, yeah, I can kill everybody. So, who cares?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. What are they going to do?
Yeah. Well, and he does take out a very big enemy in this episode, which is Mr. Edgar. And so, let's talk about him a little bit. And we can kind of talk about this conversation he has with Homelander too, because it is just so rich, and I just makes me love both of them. So Mr. Edgar is not pleased with his big rant at his birthday special and is trying to kind of initiate some checks and balances, and I think realizing that he really doesn't have as much power as he thought he did, you know, especially with no fucks Homelander. But here's the thing, and I'm such a roller coaster with Mr. Edgar on this episode. There are things he does that make me really love him and things he does that make me really hate him, because he's not striking this blow. He is using Victoria Newman to do it, and he knows he is putting her in danger. So how are you feeling about Mr. Edgar in this episode?
Yeah, I didn't like when he was trying to make her do it. Like, oh, he needs to be called out. Like, you need to use your position and you need to do this and, you know, make it seem like not everybody's okay with what he's doing, which is a valid point. But you're right. Like, it is putting her, like, literally in the line of fire. However, I did find it, like, that was one of the shocking moments for me, was when she does kind of, she turns on him and takes Homelander's side, but, you know, unwillingly. I think it's very clear that Homelander threatened her, and more importantly, threatened her daughter. And as much as she loves Edgar, she's going to always choose her daughter. She loves her daughter more. So that's just the position that she found herself in. But yeah, I didn't like that he put her in that position and just thought that, sure, she can take care of herself. She's a soup, right? And he's not, so might as well do this, but
exactly.
But like, she
can take care of herself with regular people and even with a lot of soups, but not him. You know, he is the one that you really can't fuck around with, you know. And yeah, maybe we can kind of talking about Victoria, because she's another one where I was like, should she be in the Spice Girls or should she be in the bad boys category? And I will tell you, even as caught up as I am, I'm still not totally sure. You know, like she's just a really well-written, really complicated character, because like she does turn on Mr. Edgar. She does theoretically get in bed with Homelander. And I'm sure when you get in bed with Homelander, you're going to get fucked. And I think she kind of has, but I think her hand was forced. I don't think she wanted to do this at all. And what we see is that she did this to get Compound V to give to her daughter, which is going to make her safe, which is just, that's such a heartbreaking scene to watch her like inject it into her daughter, especially with where Kimiko goes in this episode too, you know? So,
well, and like I think previously too, it's not like Victoria hasn't been kind of, in, you know, a pawn of Mr. Edgar. Like very clearly she has been, mm-hmm. but in the past she's been kind of attacking Supes in general, bad, you know, Supes with bad behavior, Vought in general, Vought doing bad things or Vought operating in ways that maybe need to be checked a little. But I think what the biggest problem was that maybe Edgar took it a step too far was singling out Homelander specifically. Mm-hmm. It seems like at least what we've seen, it's always been kind of just kind of a broader picture of these kind of systemic issues that Vought's a part of. But the second, you know, maybe she was up against, like, I'm going to call out Homelander specifically, I think that's where it was just a step too far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's interesting because he has called out Homelander a lot of times, but behind closed doors, you know, or in yeah. front of Vought employees. And he is making her do this on a national stage. And there's something Homelander says about Maeve in this episode, like, that they their relationship started out just for the cameras and then it mm-hmm. got real hot and heavy, and he just is really gross about it. And, you know, it made me really kind of rethink that relationship, like how consensual was that, you know, because I don't think and what made me think about that was when you said, like, I'm sure Homelander threatened her, and I hadn't really, I think I had been thinking about this as Victoria's choice, you know, mm. but like, what choice does she maybe have,
yeah.
you know? And Homelander doesn't have to say, I'm going to kill your daughter if you don't do this, for him to be threatening that, you know? And I think she knows him well enough yeah. to know that, you know?
I guess that's a good point. Like, I just kind of assumed, but because he does seem genuinely surprised when Ashley brings it up
mm-hmm.
and, you know, tells her, like, well, what is she going to talk about? Like, go find it out. Like, what is this press conference? And, like, he knows it's about him. And I just, like, kind of assume that he went and had a conversation with her. But yeah, we don't see that. Yeah. Maybe she reached out to him and was like, hey,
yeah,
this is my opportunity to, yeah, get some V for my daughter and mm-hmm. make her a soup, which she sees as a way to keep her safe.
Yeah.
But that's debatable, I guess.
Well, exactly. That's the thing. And it's like she knows who he is and she knows who Mr. Edgar is, you know, and she's, mm-hmm. you know, we don't see that conversation. We don't know who approached who, although I think the thing about and it's like what we were talking about with Soldier Boy, like he can be a dork and he can do this dumb solid gold rap thing because he knows nobody is going to challenge him. Like nobody is.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to stand up to him because there is an implied threat of that he could kill yeah. them. You know, and I think Homelander always carries that around with him all of the time. And everybody he deals with knows it. And Mr. Edgar is one of the few people that actually can say anything to him, which so I want to get your thoughts on this conversation they have in the boardroom.
Yeah.
Because he says something really interesting. He says, you know, after he's removed Mr. Edgar, he's on a leave of absence, which is probably going to be permanent. The company is yours, but I think you'll come to sorely regret that. There's no one left to cover for you. How are you feeling about this?
I mean, it's true, right? Like, I think Edgar, he's been in this game long enough that he knows that, like, okay, the public might be with him now, but at some point, he's going to cross a line and it's going to get him in trouble mm-hmm. one way, you know, with somebody, with the public, with the government, who knows? But like, he's going to cross that line and there's not going to be anybody there to just cover it up or spin it a different way. Like, he's going to be out in the open.
Mm-hmm.
And by that point, he will have literally burned all the bridges available to him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also just kind of wondering, though, at this point, it's like, why is Homelander keeping him alive?
Yeah.
Like, I'm genuinely surprised that, like, he doesn't just kill him, mm-hmm. but also maybe he's enjoying seeing him fall, you know?
Yeah.
And wants to see him, like, I'm keeping you alive so you can see what I've done.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I wonder if there is a piece of him, too, that's, like, that won't admit it, but knows, like, that Mr. Edgar is right, that he does need somebody to kind of cover for him. And, like, there are just so many direct parallels to what we're at, to what's actually happening, you know, because we're seeing, like, with Alexei Navalny, who just was killed. And so, like, when you take out your enemy, you create a martyr. And so I wonder if He's a little bit worried about that. The thing I think is interesting about Homelander and the politician that he directly parallels is I don't think Homelander is very smart. I think he is very instinctual and he mm-hmm. goes on instinct and he is really, really good at that. He can read a room. He knows what his fans want and he is able to deliver it. But that only gets you so far. And I think Mr. Edgar knows that. And I wonder if there's a piece of Homelander that is at least a little bit afraid of that, too, because he's not planning very far ahead, you know? And Mr. Edgar no. is.
Yeah, I don't, I mean, Homelander's clearly planning, like, a little bit ahead, but also with, like, the power that we've seen that Vought has, I think Homelander is still thinking a little small.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's thinking kind of what's immediately affecting him, but not necessarily like the full weight of what Vought is and what Vought can do, especially like on a global scale. It just seems like Homelander's thinking very small-minded about what this power is. And I just feel like that's going to bite him in the ass at some point. Because, yeah, Mr. Edgar is a very powerful person with Vought, but he's not the only person within Vought, right?
Right.
So I don't know.
And Homelander's not the only alpha soup anymore because now we have Soldier Boy back in the mix.
Yeah.
Now, he doesn't know that, but I mean,
right.
that is a factor that could come back to bite him in the ass because he thinks he has complete unchecked power. And we don't know that much about Soldier Boy yet, but we do see someone who, like, goes up against him lose their powers. So that could be, you know, that yeah. is something that would affect Homelander. The thing that I love about Mr. Edgar that really kind of still endears him to me is how he's not mad at Victoria. He's like, no, I taught her to play all sides. You know, I do think he was using her and I think Homelander is right. Like, she's not a daughter to you. He's mm-hmm. been using you. And I honestly, I don't know if Mr. Edgar knows how to have a relationship that is not like transactional in some way, you know,
yeah.
but the fact that he expects it and almost feels a little proud that she did that, you know, it makes me like him a little bit, you know?
Well, yeah, like he understands. Oh, it's funny. I've been watching that TV show called The Traitors.
Ooh.
Which I don't know if you see, but it's like a deception game. Like you're trying to find who the traitors are in this group of people. And then anyways, ultimately mm-hmm. they have to reveal themselves and like to these people that they've been like lying to and they're like friends. And it just made me think about that too a little bit. It's like, you're not mad at them for succeeding. Cause it's like, oh, you did such a good job at this thing. Like, I'm a little hurt that you lied to me, but at the same time, like, I can't blame you mm-hmm. because I would do the same thing. And it's, yeah, he can't blame her. And he understands, like, of course, like it's her daughter ultimately that is kind of the deciding factor. And yeah, she's always gonna choose her. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe in some ways it's like he's almost a little proud because it's finally like her being like, I'm going to make my own decisions.
Yes. Yeah. And I learned this from watching you, you know, like the student is becoming yeah. the master, yeah. you know, there is a piece of him, mm-hmm. you know, that's like, she wouldn't have done that if not for me, you know, even though mm-hmm. it does fuck him, you know, although to yeah. be honest, like he's had a real good run. And if mm-hmm. this is how he goes out, like there are a lot worse ways to go out in this world, you know?
Yeah. I also love that he does it even when he's down and he knows that he's down and he's down and out, out of Vought. He never backs down to Homelander. Like,
same.
He's like, you know what? Like, I'm going to say what I have to say. And like, yeah, you might have won, but this changes zero about how I feel about you.
Yeah. He gets like, the last word.
Whatever.
And it's mm-hmm. perfection. And it just shows like he is just smarter than Homelander. And I think Homelander knows it, you know? And it's mm-hmm. part of the reason he doesn't like Mr. Edgar.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Ashley because she is stepping in. She's putting some big girl pants on. She's, you know, trying out this whole emotional abuse work strategy thing. Like the moment it's awful, yeah. but the moment where she says to this Mucker Malson guy, like, is your idiot brain getting fucked by stupid? And just says it exactly the way Homelander is. I was like, go, Ashley, but also like, you suck. No.
I know. You know, hurt people hurt people. And if Ashley can't, you know, have that sort of power in her actual job, you know, with like Homelander and managing these soups, she's going to take it out where she can. And apparently it's on this. I did love when she was talking about the writing, just how bad it was. And then he's like, oh, I wrote that.
Yeah. Yeah. And she didn't really back down either. You know, I do think she's starting to feel a little more confident, you know, or just kind of learning how to play the game a little bit.
Yeah.
She's also in the middle of crises too. So like she's got a couple of minutes to just kind of relax. And also it turns out okay, you know, she gets to have some fun soup sex. So
she continuously, you know what? She's found that weak men. She just knows how to manipulate them and how to get them on her side and gets laid in the process.
Exactly. So. Yeah. Which it's just hard to be mad at her, you know?
Yeah.
Well, speaking of weak men, let's talk about this deep A-Train showdown. A-Train is one, I don't know where to put him on this episode, but I love, you know, the Deep is back. He's totally feeling himself as well. And he doesn't know that the only reason he is back is to fuck with Starlight. Like, he's like, oh no, Homelander hand-selected me, you know? And to see, like, I've seen the meme where he turns around behind Homelander's back and, like, does the little blowjob thing. And it's just, like, chef's kiss, Chase Crawford, perfection. So how are you feeling about the Deep in this episode?
I mean, I think he's starting to, like, feel good about himself again, but also
he got his groove back.
He's done nothing.
No.
Like, it's his wife is... like literally telling him what to say and when to say it, and I'm just like, why is she in this meeting? Why is she sitting here? Like, I don't understand why they're letting her just chill be in these meetings with the Seven as they are deciding these pretty like high level things. But also I kind of love it too, because she just texts him and it's like, yes, now say read the script,
right? And nobody notices.
It's like, that's, nobody notices. Yeah, although Homelander, I think, was surprised to be like, what? Yeah, actually, yes, you're correct. Mm-hmm. Like, exactly. That was helpful. Like, that's weird.
Point. I mean, it's an awful point and it's wrong, but, you know.
Oh, 100%. But Homelander appreciated it a little bit, yes. I think. So that was... Mm-hmm. Of kind of funny, and I appreciated how like weird it felt to Homelander in that moment. Like, wait, what? You said right. The Deep said that? Okay.
Oh yeah, that Cassandra, she knows how to work it, you know. I also love this fight in the middle, and you know, I don't know, I guess we could talk about A-Train here, but like, it's so hilarious to me how weak these two men are when they actually fight. It's like two hits and they're down, compared to like Maeve, who we just saw like tear shit up in her apartment. And I mean, she's training, nobody's actually fighting her, but it's like these two idiots are worthless. Like, if they had to actually solve any kind of crimes or anything, like, they would fall apart, you know?
Well, yeah, the Deep's no good on land, right?
Exactly, like, yeah.
He gets punched in the gills. So he's literally got a couple weak spots, you know, sensitive spots, that if you know anything about him, you know that that's where you're going to aim for. Right.
Theoretically, and A-Train or like emotionally and physically, you know?
Right, yes. You can, hit him in the heart and the gills. And then A-Train is... Yeah, I guess just keeping it a secret from everybody, right, in the public, that he actually, like, he doesn't have any superpowers now, right, basically? Or if he attempts to use them, it will kill him. So, yeah, pretty, I don't know what either of them expect. Like, I don't know what A-Train is thinking. Like, what is the long play here? Because at some point, you're gonna have to be a soup.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it is interesting, like they haven't done any kind of like superhero stuff in a long time. They've been going to their premieres. They've been like doing this interpolitical stuff. The boys are doing shit all over the place. Like, they're working behind the scenes, but we don't see much superhero stuff at all, except for Homelander flying around, you know? And, of course, yeah. Maeve is training, but, you know.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about A-Train. I have him, because I didn't want to spoil anything, I have him in our Spice Girls category, but does he still belong there?
See, yet again, I was feeling good about A-Train. I was feeling good about where we were at with him. Even at the beginning of this episode, we see him like wanting to get involved in these social issues to, you know, questionable.
Oh my God, the Pepsi commercial.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like Kendall Jenner, like putting the flower out to the, yes. Mm-hmm. Very, yeah. The Pepsi commercial coated turbo rush drink.
Oh, I've been waiting for us to get there.
Oh. Oh my God. So funny. And, you know, his new suit, even though his brother kind of calls him out on how it's misguided, he does bring up how he wants to interact with Blue Hawk and like brings up a very valid thing to Homelander, like, hey, this guy needs to be dealt with. Like, he's over patrolling these, you know, these specific black neighborhoods. He needs to be dealt with, and they just blow him off. And yeah, but then he, in order to get back in favor with Homelander a little bit, because the Deep has kind of put him in this position, then he sells out Starlight.
Yeah, and Supersonic too.
I know. And like, he just does this shitty thing just because he feels like, oh, I'm the low man on the totem pole. Mm-hmm. And like, now I'm going to, like, I have to make up for it somehow. Mm-hmm. And just chooses to be a shitty person again. And it's very frustrating. He cost Supersonic his life and put Starlight in an incredibly dangerous situation because his ego is hurt.
Yeah.
When he can't even, like, use his superpowers to begin with. So I just don't understand, like, what he what he wants. Like, what is the long play here, A-Train?
I know. And I don't know if he has one. I think, like, he's hoping, like, they're going to back me up. They care about me as a person. They're going to support me. They're going to, you know, give me something to do to still be a part of this, even though they know that I can't run right now. And especially, yeah, like the line that really, really got me was he's like, he's going to back the Deep after everything I've done for him. And it made me think about like all of the stuff in season one. You know, arguably, mm-hmm, he would not have this heart condition if not for Homelander having him traffic all of that V all over town. And it's just, he keeps giving and giving and giving and nothing. He never gets anything back. And it's just so heartbreaking to see. Like, there's the moment with him and Starlight when Starlight's like, oh, mm-hmm, that's awful. And it's like they have a real connection, considering, like, that they were fighting, like, literally fighting almost to the death in the first season, you know? It's like he's come so far. And then I wonder if not for the press conference when he sees, like, the house is always going to win. I wonder if that's the turning point for him. He's like, I can't be on the wrong side of this, you know? And I have this opportunity to put myself back. It's just, it's so, like Ashley, it's hard for me to be mad at A-Train, even though he is doing really, really despicable stuff. Because, like, I don't know about you, I thought Supersonic was going to be around a lot longer.
Me too. Yeah. No, I really did. I just think that so much of A-Train's identity is tied up in him being A-Train, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I can't remember his, you know, human name, his real name. But, like, it's so much of his identity is being the fastest man alive, to being the superhero, to being a member of the Seven. It just feels like he's grasping at straws for, like, if I lose that, which he basically has, he just won't admit it to himself. Like, who am I? Mm-hmm. What, you know, what am I? Who am I? What good am I? And he just is unable to confront that at that time. So it is, I feel like it's coming from like a sad place. He's just being kind of reckless with how he's coping with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it just, it makes me love this show so much that, like, with these two characters, that they get to this point with each other, because I think another show would have just kind of made both of these characters a joke or like throwaway subplots, you know, they kind of show up whenever to kind of further the plot. And I love that that like they're really taking him seriously as a character and they're really giving him a lot of meat. You know, arguably he has the heavier storyline than just about anybody, and at least on the soup side, you know, like he's got more to do than Starlight does in this episode. I want to talk about two other characters, not too much to say about them, but I just kind of want to mention them. I love little Nina, just perfect way to introduce a villain, even though I know we've seen her before, but like, love these domestic vibes, like the shoulder pads, the cooking. Like, I've been watching a lot of Girls recently, so like just the his cassoulet made me come. I was like, I appreciate you, little Nina. I see that you're bad, but
yeah,
good kind of bad. And then so any thoughts on little Nina?
Oh, I just, you know, she just seems like a smart, very dangerous woman. I love how, you know, she's like, oh yeah, that's enough, that $100,000, yeah, that's enough for my trouble, but what about my pain and my suffering?
Rachel, she like, can't sleep at night.
Like, I know,
she needs assassins to solve her problems. Yeah,
your government, yeah, what is it gonna do about that? It's gonna have to pay me more. So I just like the way that she handled that. And you know, her and Butcher interacting together. It's like, oh, they would actually be kind of cute, maybe.
I know. I know. There's another universe where they would make a really great couple. And I do have more thoughts about her, how she plays into all of that in our Spice Girls category. But another thing, I just thought this was interesting. Like, when he says, no, it's the U.S. government, they'll just make more, you know, which is something like, I don't know, it's kind of a throwaway line, except for it's a Frenchman, a Russian, and a British person saying that. And I just thought it was really interesting, like, that they're all talking about the U.S. government, like, and not being U.S. citizens. It's just...
That's funny. It's true.
I don't know if they're citizens or not. But yeah, it was just one of those moments where I was like, that's interesting. Want to mention Black Noir. We only see him once, but we see him drawing a cartoon character.
Yeah,
and that's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, love him still. Yeah. Want more?
Right. Well, and you know, we've seen a little bit of him, and I want more. All right. Well, let's move into our Spice Girls category. It was hard for me to kind of keep from the crossover. Let's start with MM, because that is who we start with. I love that we get a little bit more of him. We get a little bit of the origin story about how he joined the team. He was a Marine. And I think Butcher like vocalizes something we've been saying for a while, is that he is the one that holds them together. Like, he is the backbone and the glue.
Yeah, I love this whole conversation. I am really enjoying how much of MM we're getting, because it did feel like the first two seasons, he was always there and we always loved him. But I actually feel like we're just, like, I feel like I know this character so much better now. And this, what I thought was another really sweet interaction between him and Butcher, because I think MM saw him in a little bit of a different way. I mean, this whole episode, I think MM is looking at Butcher in a different way, for better or for worse, especially with somebody he's known for so long. You know, I think, you know, MM even says to him, like, how long have we known each other? Like, do you remember what, like, they go back a ways. And it feels like even after all these years, Butcher's just now telling him this.
Yeah.
Like, we recruited you for your leadership skills, not for your, like, kind of bravado or, like, physical skills. Like, it was, like, kind of the opposite. It's how you are with people, not your physical strength and how you're, you know, knocking out your racist boss or whatever. Yeah. So I thought that was kind of gave MM like a new perspective on himself, maybe a little bit.
Well, and it's something that we say a lot too. It's like, leadership and strength don't have to be flashy for people to see them and for them to be really valuable. And I think, like, I don't know if MM has really seen himself as a leader, because Butcher is the one taking that role. And I think it tells us a lot about how Butcher sees himself too, you know, because he's like,
oh, totally.
I know who I am. Like, I don't know if I could do this job without being an asshole. And that's why I need you, because I know I need somebody like you to keep me in check. And it's kind of like the Huey is his canary kind of thing, you know, like MM is his heart, you know, his compassion and the one that can actually like call him out. I also love how he just kind of red dumb motherfucker, Rocky Four motherfucker. It's just so
I don't. Yeah. Just all these, yeah, Russian movie references when he's attacking Russian soldiers. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, man, it did get up to some shit in the 80s, you know?
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about Butcher, because I want to talk about this whole big reveal. Before we get to, I think, the big power reveal, let's talk about how he treats Frenchie and Kimiko. Because he's just treating them like shit in this episode. And it really broke my heart. I was like, those are the two that stuck with you. They are the ones that stuck around this whole time. And it's like, I don't know, have you ever had, well, I guess, you know, we're both married. So, you know, you can say things to your husband that you wouldn't say to somebody that you're still kind of trying to make friends with, because you know your husband is going to love you no matter what. And it's kind of got those, not that it's okay. You know, I've said some things to Corey that I regret, but I said them because I knew he wasn't going to leave me, you know, and it's kind of got that vibe to it, you know?
Yeah. But it's like he's taking for granted that they will always be there. And what I think that he's not seeing is that they have found something in each other that they don't necessarily need him. Mm-hmm. Like, independently, like, prior to this whole scenario, yeah, probably, you know, before, like, yeah, Frenchie probably would have stayed because he didn't necessarily have anything else. He was a single dude. He, you know, was just, I mean, he's done some terrible things. We've seen that. He would be fine continuing that life. But I think Kimiko gives him a new purpose, a new perspective, a new, like, just kind of rethinking what they could do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they just have such a cute, sweet bond. And I think that Butcher's not necessarily, he knows that, but also is not maybe giving that the proper respect. Mm-hmm. Because it's like they're kind of staying there because the other person is there. But what if they both just left?
Exactly. And it's a lot easier to leave with somebody else to support you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if there's part of him that sees that bond and is like, I don't know if jealous is the right word, you know? But I think that also, like, and it's another parallel to Homelander. Like, I think Butcher runs on instinct a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, he is a planner. Like, he cooks up a lot of this shit, you know, but he also, I think, is always kind of looking to, we just got to get through the next job and we got to get to the next thing. We got to find this weapon. We got to take out Homelander. And I think when he was looking at this as a long-term job, like at the beginning of season three, he was not happy. Like, he doesn't like to operate in that mode. You know, he's got to have something he's mm-hmm. searching for. And so I think when it is, well, I just got to get here, then whatever you have to do to get there, whoever you have to burn, it doesn't matter because you're giving it all up as soon as this job's over. But there's always another job. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I really don't like how he's treating Kimiko. I think it might be part of his, you know, bias against Supes, or like feeling mm-hmm. like she owes him in some way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, oh, like, you're here because I let you stay here. Like, we freed you. I allowed you to be here. And I think she saved his life
so many times.
Oh, exactly. It's like at this point, like maybe that was not that it was okay, but like maybe a little bit understandable. She did have to like prove her allegiance or whatever, but she's more than done that now. So mm-hmm. I don't understand like why he's taking her for granted and being so disrespectful to her in that way. And ultimately, as we see, that's kind of a big, I don't know what's going to happen next, but that's kind of the final straw. What happens is when it ends up literally hurting Kimiko.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, what's so funny is like, she probably would have been down with this plan if he'd just treated her like a human being and said, hey, this is something you could help us with. Like, this could be your part of this. Are you okay with that? And I think or like, we don't have any other options. Can you help? But it all kind of stems from the fact that he is getting in with little Nina to begin with, because I don't like the way he's dismissing Frenchie this whole time, because Frenchie is saying, this is bad. She is bad. Do not get involved with her. It's not going to go well. You know, neither of us mm-hmm. have superpowers. And to see how, like, casually he just kind of brushes him off and makes all these deals, I do think that, like, he saves Shuri, which is good, but he doesn't do it to be a good person. He does it because she's right. a bargaining chip, too. And I do think it's a big wake-up call to Frenchie and Kimiko. Like, well, if he's going to treat us like this, then, like, what's the fucking point? Because it's yeah. never going to change.
Yeah, why are they staying there at this point?
Exactly.
Like, I think they've both gotten themselves to a good place. Yeah, why are we here?
Yeah. Well, I am glad that we get to this point because it gives us one of my favorite fight scenes of the entire show. So, we have Belle Biv DeVoe's poison, which is just, man, every time I hear it, I go, it just, love that song. Brings me right back to my dance days in elementary school. Miss Kathy's dance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I had that on an MTV Party to Go CD. And
Millennium Hip Hop here.
So good. Yeah. Yes. I just love that they were able to use that for her.
Mm-hmm. And I love that she got to dress up too. It's like, look at you.
I know.
You're looking stylish. And, you know, yes, heels are hard to walk in.
Yes.
But this dildo fight, like, I remember reading a little bit about this when this episode premiered. And that, like, how, like, that she worked on at the choreography, because it's a really impressive scene, too, aside mm-hmm. from the fact that she's, like, killing all these people with dildos, which is or superhero dildos, too. So, tell me your thoughts on this whole thing.
Oh, this was another, like, it was something like, as soon as he, like, opened that cabinet, it was like, okay, I know what's going to happen here. But then it just kept going, uh-huh. and it was even better than I expected. Like, I thought maybe the one dude would get killed with one, but then the other, like, you know, soldier guys that came in. So it was better than I expected. Yeah, I said, yeah, she fucked them all up real good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she did.
I loved how every superhero had their own. And it's like, of course this would be a thing. Like, why would it not be this? just kind of. But why this Russian dude is fascinated with these in particular, these soup dildos, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Hey, the heart wants what the heart wants, you know?
Yeah. And really just shows how resourceful Kimiko is as a fighter, that she will use what is, at, you know, whatever is at her disposal, as we've seen her do in the past. And she'll make the best of it and make it work. So she's an incredible fighter.
Oh, yeah. She's fantastic. And it was nice to see her in action mode again, too. You know, it reminded me of just what almost feels like a throwaway scene where she just, like, rips some dude's face off, you know? Like,
yeah.
She is awesome. But, mm-hmm. you know, she's not healing. So that is scary.
Yeah. And it was sad, like, when, like, seeing her. As we've seen her before, those moments where, you know, the fight's over and then, like, the other women in the room are scared of her because obviously they don't know who she is. They don't know. They think they're worried about their own lives. And so they're shooting at her. Mm-hmm. And they do shoot her, but she's able to heal at that time. So just once again, her seeing herself through other people's eyes, it's just it's eating her alive, I think. Mm-hmm. And she's. You know, she's got to get out of this. And I think she knows that.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, she's trying to. She, time and time again. I mean, this is not new that she's starting to own these feelings and starting to, you know, verbalize them as she can. Mm-hmm. And it's just so sad to see because.
She's come so far, you know?
I know. She's come so far and is feeling comfortable with these people to tell them, I don't want to do this. I don't like this. Mm-hmm. I hate this about myself. And then they're just the people around her are continually making her go to that place. Mm-hmm. Like those aren't real friends, right?
Exactly.
Those aren't.
Yeah. Yeah. Frenchie is a real friend. I love seeing her just kind of be girly in this season, you know, because season one, it was so much about just her kind of becoming human again after being, like, locked mm-hmm. in a basement. And then season two was all about her brother. And now it's like she is really getting a chance to kind of figure out who she is. And I think she's realizing, like what she says to Butcher, I don't want to be your fucking gun, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And one thing, and maybe this can kind of transition us to the big thing that happens and talking about Butcher and Huey and the temp V, because she's like, why would you take that? Why would you put that in your body on purpose, you know?
Right.
And I think they, I don't know if they know how she feels about her powers. We know because we've seen her talk to Ryan about it. And I think we've seen, I think Frenchie knows enough about her to know, but like to see them, I don't know. It's just so interesting to see the way they view these powers. The look of betrayal on MM's face when he realizes, first it's like, no, Butcher, don't kill yourself for me. And then it becomes, oh, what the fuck did you do? You know?
Yeah. Well, and I think like how flippantly Butcher and Huey are like, oh, it's just temporary.
Right.
Oh, it's temp. Like it wears off. It's really kind of being dismissive of, you know, Kimiko mm-hmm. and all soups basically that have to like live with this all the time mm-hmm. for them to just be like, oh, it's fine because it's temporary. And it's like, well, how lucky for you.
Exactly.
How lucky that, you know, it gets to wear off for you and you have the luxury of, you know, using it when you need to and putting it away when you need to. It's like the best of both worlds. But like, yeah, and I think you're right. I guess I didn't realize. Yeah, I don't think she's ever said anything to Huey or Butcher, or if even if she did, like, I mean, she's told Butcher, like, I'm not your gun, mm-hmm. but he's not, you know, he's not thinking yeah. about it like that. Yeah, not actually think. Even Huey, like, you would think, like, I get why he does in some ways because he has felt so powerless in so many other situations. Mm-hmm. But also, I would think that, you know, he's seen what Starlight's gone through. And like when she found out about V, like what that did, like he's been with her on that whole journey. And so to just be so flippant about taking it, I think is just not a very good
yeah.
behavior on their parts.
Well, and we see they don't see this, but we see when Victoria Newman like injects her daughter and she just starts screaming and crying. Like it hurts too. Like it's, you're changing your yeah. body, you know? And I don't know, it's like when you start taking a medication, like it doesn't just, like unless it's like Tylenol or something, it doesn't just make the pain go away. Like it fundamentally alters your body. And
right.
They are being very flippant. It doesn't really surprise me for Butcher because one, I don't think he gives a shit about himself too much. Like he's willing to go down with the ship and it's always the means to an end with him. But Huey, this is the other, like Huey and A-Train in this episode are the ones that I'm like, oh, this is where the meat is. And it reminds me of those first few seasons where they were really kind of going through stuff, you know,
mm-hmm.
on kind of parallel ends because Huey gets his power. Okay, now here's the other thing. Did you see that coming? And what his power is?
I wanted to rewind it because I'm like, wait, what did he do?
Yeah, he teleports out of his clothes.
Okay, it was like, yeah, it's like he like got small, like pops up. So okay, he teleports.
Yeah, teleports, and I think the punching through is just like he's stronger because of the V.
Right. Yeah. So, but that's also funny. Like, of course, that would happen to Huey. Like, yeah, you can teleport, but you're gonna be naked.
And that's what Kripke. I read an interview when they were talking about this as the episode premiered, and he was like, "Yeah, it's one of those things. Like, he's always gonna look a little bit ridiculous because that's just who mm-hmm. he is. And even when he gets strength, like he's going. And I think he has learned to kind of have a sense of humor about that. But that takes a real turn in this episode. But the moment where Kimiko just covers her eyes. So yeah, funny.
Like, oh no. It's like your dude, brother. So I was like, no, no. And yeah, we see all the Russian like television stations and shows like reporting basically that like Starlight and Homeland are together mm-hmm. and Huey's out. We see them kind of mocking him, like, oh, he's a crybaby. Like, and so of course I think Huey's just feeling sorry for himself, even though they are together still,
right?
And he knows it's just a stunt, just having him be kind of, I don't know, demasculated
yeah. uh-huh.
in that way. I think he's just grasping at straws to feel like he has some control over what's happening around him. Mm-hmm. but I'm not sure this is the best way to go about it. And I'm sure Starlight won't be particularly pleased when she finds out about it either.
Yeah, yeah, and it's so interesting, like, because he has this scene and he's like begging Butcher to give him this V, and he's like, I am so angry. And it's like, I think he finally can really feel how Butcher has been feeling this whole time. Like, I am so angry. I feel so powerless. I'm willing to do anything, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was really like touched by how supportive he is with Starlight. He's like, it's okay. We'll get through this. Even though she's kind of like, you told me to stick it out. This is what it is. You know, it's almost an I told you so. But you get the sense that they really love each other and they're going to be able to get through it. But then behind her back, he turns to Butcher and he's like, he's going to know how to help me, even though I don't know how conscious that is, you know?
Yeah.
But I love like the scene, like the grins on his face that just kind of pop through when he's got this power, and like when his arm is just like sticking out the car and he's just like looking and feeling powerful. And it really tells you, I think, how much like he is just kind of assumed this position of weakness, and he's told himself he's okay with it, but that it's been really building up and building up, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And it just comes at the worst possible moment because, you know, Homelander signing his cast and everything. And then, like, I wonder if the Homelight thing had happened, if he would have taken this temp V, you know, or if he would have been able to kind of withstand the pressure.
And just feel powerful in his own, because like we have seen it's like he is like worthwhile having around, like he's really smart and really capable, mm-hmm. and it just he you know understandably forgets that sometimes,
yeah,
especially when you're dating a member of the Seven. It's hard to remember that like you have your strengths too, and like she's with you for a reason, and also while she's struggling he's feeling like he has to, you know, be a good partner. And he even tells her, like, you know, you've saved me enough, let me save you. Mm-hmm. And he says that, and it's very sweet in the moment, but then I think he's realizing, like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah,
like,
maybe I can't mean? You know, yeah, what like, does that mean, you know?
It sounds like great words, but like I don't know how to actually deliver on that promise.
Exactly. Especially when you're going up against somebody like Homelander, you know?
I
do love this moment at the end. Like, there's just so much interesting shit that happens. So much, like, game-changing stuff. And you wrote, Butch goes boss mode, which is perfect. Like, this scene is so awesome. It reminds me of, like, when Sonic gets, like, gold Sonic powers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching a lot of Sonic, too, because my kids play it on repeat.
Yeah.
And it's just like, or like when Mario gets the star, you know, and you're just kind of like mm-hmm. running through everybody. It's really, really cool. I love a good like what the fuck reaction shot from everybody else. You know, it's like one of those Final Destination, the plane explodes kind of moments too, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I don't think they don't know about Temp V,
no.
right? Like that's been kind of like, they don't know that even exists. So I'm sure when they're seeing this, they're like, wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
Like they know that V isn't like, oh, you're not born a soup. Like they know that V exists, but it's like, okay, wait, have you been keeping this? Are you a soup? And just, well, and how obviously negatively Butcher feels against soups.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems counter to everything that he is. So you would never expect that to happen mm-hmm. or even know that that was possible. So
yeah. Yeah, it's such an interesting like parallel between Butcher taking it and Huey taking it, because Huey takes it because he wants power, and Butcher, I think, really hates that he has to do this to get powers, because he does hate soups, you know, and he's, you know, he's already said, like, I essentially am a shitty person. I'm under no illusions about who I am. It's not power, it's punishment, which I think is really interesting, too.
Yeah.
We don't get a whole lot of the fallout of all of this, but, you know, it's just, and he really doesn't want the rest of them to know either. You know, it's when they're all going to die that he comes out and, you know, uses these powers. Well, let's talk about how he got that V, and that is through Maeve. I don't have a whole lot to say about Maeve in this, and maybe we could talk about Maeve and Starlight together. Because they do have an interesting moment where Starlight realizes that she has been training. She's the one that told them about this weapon, which turns out to be Soldier Boy. She is a secret part of the resistance all along, but also that she's like, I don't know if suicidal is quite the word I would use, but like she's willing, she's ready to go down with the ship. She sees that coming. Like she and Butcher are on very similar journeys in a lot of ways, you know?
Yeah. I loved seeing this moment with Maeve. Number one, she's using a sword.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and that gave me like very Red Sonja vibes with her hair, and I love Red Sonja, so that was like, oh my gosh, she is Red Sonja in a lot of ways, who is also like a kind of solo warrior character, mm-hmm. and that's really what she is here. And in some ways, I kind of think that Maeve, I mean, she's always been such kind of a tragic character to me because she just seems so beaten down. But I liked seeing this part of her because in some ways it's like, well, she's actually probably the smartest character right now. Mm-hmm. Like she knows Homelander better than anybody and she knows what she has to do to carry out this plan. Mm-hmm. And that's basically staying completely off the radar, letting people, what she says, like people think what I want them to. Mm-hmm. Just like being super cautious and careful with what she's putting out there. Because that way they won't, you know, they won't see her coming, right? They won't expect it coming from her. She's just Maeve the drunk, Maeve, you know, the soup that sleeps around with whoever. Mm-hmm. And she's doing that very consciously.
Mm-hmm.
That way. And she also, I think, is giving the right weight to, like, she knows what it would actually take to destroy Homelander. And I don't think anybody else really understands that the way that she does.
Yeah. Yeah. That if you tangle with Homelander, you probably are not going to come. You might get him, but you're probably not coming back from that too. And also like Maeve the loner, you know, I think, you know, seeing what happens to Supersonic, like I'm sure Starlight is regretting getting him involved in it or saying anything at all. And it's like, yeah, this is why I have to let people get hurt sometimes because it's not safe to reach out, you know?
Yeah. And that's what it made me think, like, I wonder if Starlight understands Maeve a little bit better, mm-hmm. because we've seen people in Maeve's life get hurt, and who knows how many people in her life have been hurt before, you know, we were introduced to her in this show. Mm-hmm. And I think this was a big wake up call for Starlight, because obviously, she's been through some really shitty situations since joining the Seven, but I don't think she's ever really felt a loss like this as a result of her own actions so brutally. Mm-hmm. Somebody so that she cared about so much. And like we've seen Maeve go through that, and that's why Maeve is the way she is now, because she's learned that, like, oh yeah, that will probably get the people I care about killed. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens to Starlight. So, it's just so sad.
No. Yeah. Well, and he's like, that's going to be Huey, which, you know, when you think about why Maeve broke up with Elena, like it makes sense. Mm-hmm. And like Huey is like, Starlight knows that Huey is working on something, but Elena's just like a regular person, you know? And so to be defenseless like that, like it puts so much more of it in perspective. And also, it's like Supersonic just joined the Seven publicly and Homelander mm-hmm. took him out. So if he's willing to do that, like it's not like some random person off the radar that they can just kind of sweep under the rug. And it also makes me think, you know, we talked in earlier seasons, I think, about the beginning of Maeve and Homelander's relationship. And I bet it was a lot like this, is he just decided one day that he and Maeve were going to be together. And mm-hmm. what's Maeve going to do about it, you know?
Yeah.
I did write, no, by Alex, poor Alex, RIP, when he reaches out to A-Train, because I knew it was coming. I knew it was going to happen. It's like, don't do it.
And it makes me so sad because, like, in my notes before we got to this point, like, he was so sweet to her. Mm-hmm. And it's like, they just... it felt so genuine that they have a real friendship. Mm-hmm. And I was like, he better not betray her. And then ultimately, I mean, he doesn't, but he gets killed nonetheless. And I was like, no, I genuinely thought like he was going to be around. Mm-hmm. And I really love how they handled this character. And I did expect more out of that relationship. And so it just got ripped away from me. Mm-hmm. So that's sad. But
It does crack me up that they keep having all these emotional conversations to this like License to Drive song.
I know how she has to turn it up. He's like, oh, what are we talking about now?
Baby. And it's a pretty catchy song, too.
I know.
And there is a full music video for that as well, if you listeners want to check it out. Well, let's I think that's everybody on the list. Let's talk about good versus evil. So I think it's, we've already talked about the big Deep versus A-Train fight and Soldier Boy. The other thing I had is just seeing Russia and like how soups are viewed on the other side of the world. We get all this really interesting graffiti and they're like monsters, you know, which I think is really interesting. I think there's a big part of that that's propaganda, but also they are so Americanized, especially Homelander, you know, and it's just very like they're not fighting for people or the world, they're fighting for America, and that's it.
Oh, yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that was super interesting, just how they're, you know, and I feel like that's probably accurate to how that would be, especially if they existed. Mm-hmm. So with Soldier Boy, too, so it's interesting. They did something to him, and it would appear that this new power is that he can take away powers, right? Because we see him hurt Kimiko, and she's not healing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what's happening with her, but I'm not happy about that. And so I guess it just never occurred to me that, like, oh, this weapon that they've been talking about, oh, it's a person. It could be a person. The weapon didn't kill Soldier Boy. Soldier Boy is the weapon, perhaps.
Which is scary because it's just that whole soups in the military thing. It's like, it's not a matter of who is picking up the gun. It's the gun is a like sentient being with their own agenda, and you can't control them. And so, you know, like,
but of course, like Russia, of course, Russia would want to do that, right? Especially talking about how they're perceived, like, okay, you know, America has this strong team of superheroes, so we can't kill them, but what can we do? Like kind of reverse engineer the problem. Like, you're not going to be able to beat them at their own game, but what if you just rewrite the rules, right? And so I think that that's such an interesting thing and way to approach that. And I guess we'll see. I don't know if that's fully how this is going to play out, but I really like that. That's how they are teeing this up for us anyways.
I know. And I swear, we've only got 6 more episodes where I know things that you don't know. And then we're going to be on the same level, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to zip my lips before I spoil anything. But yeah, you have an interesting note here. Like, this episode is about everybody getting fucked, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody gets fucked in this episode, intentional or not, for good or bad. But, like, everybody's fucking each other. You know, Butcher ends up fucking over Kimiko in multiple ways. Ashley gets hers with the show host. Even Starlight and Huey in some ways, you know, or like Starlight has put Huey in a really dangerous position and vice versa. Victoria and Edgar, that whole reverse of relationship. And then Homelander and everybody.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting, like, I don't know if I really want to make a strap-on parallel to this, but it's like there's a lot of turnabout happening, you know, like people getting fucked in ways they weren't expecting to, you know?
Yeah, 100%. And like, I think that that's very much why we get the dildos and the dildo fight. And like, so of course, I love this show. And like, I just love how they're able to layer those ideas in really silly ways like that by like putting that fight in there with all of those dildos, but also make it actually relating to these characters and the, you know, the interpersonal dynamics that we're seeing on the show. It's like it works on every level, and it's brilliant, yeah. And I love it.
It really is, you know. Well, and we've got all those brains getting fucked by stupid too, which is mm-hmm. idiot brains getting fucked by stupid. Pardon me.
Yeah.
And speaking of, let's talk about shock and awe. Again, we've already talked about a lot of this, but that is your brain getting fucked by stupid. I love that so much. It is so stupid. It doesn't make any sense, but it's just like, I want to write it on a post-it and just kind of keep it around, you know?
Yeah, it's one of those things that if somebody said that, I'd be like, wait, what? I don't.
Yeah, but
how do I have to answer?
I know, but it's not rhetorical. You have to answer. Yeah. And also, no? We've got Jamie, the little hamster, which again makes me just fucking love the show so much. Because what other show is going to give us a murderous flying soup hamster? You know?
Yeah, I'm not sure fully what the point of that is, other than they are experimenting on him. But I don't care.
Right.
I loved it, and he was very cute. And I kind of hope this isn't the last we see of him, but it might be.
He's the next boy. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, what if he's just out like running around Russia, just living his little soup hamster life, you know?
I could just see MM. Like, he could be in his little, like, in his pocket. Oh. He could have this little hamster.
Yes. Oh, you know, Black Noir, I think, could use a hamster.
He could use a hamster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, anything else we haven't talked about? I think most of what I have on the list we've already talked about. Star Spangled Banger. I did love just kind of going through all of the lists of like the silent screamer. It's just very nice.
No, I think Alex, his death was like genuinely really surprising. Mm-hmm. And then Victoria turning on Edgar, did not see that coming either. So I kind of liked how some of the more surprising moments were character, mm-hmm. you know? Character. I mean, of course, the dildo fights are amazing, but still, it was just like some of these big character twists where I did not expect that from these characters.
So. Yeah, and I think, you know, it's up for debate, but I think we might have to put A-Train back on the bad boys list, you know? So I think he is... aligned himself, at least just for who he's aligned himself with, you know, like,
yeah.
Oh, I don't know. That was a shocking moment for me the first time I watched it. It's like, oh, Adrian. Well, let's choose our fighter. So who is your MVP of the episode and why?
My MVP is Kimiko in this episode. I love that she's really coming into her own in a lot of ways. And also we're just getting to see more of that. And I think that she's really starting to stand up for herself and communicate some of those things. And just her interacting with Frenchie in this is really sweet. And just realizing that, like, they can be more, they can do more. They don't need this life right now. Mm-hmm. And maybe this isn't the healthiest environment for either one of them at this current time. Plus, we also get to see her in action, even though she hates it. Mm-hmm. I still love to get to see her. And I hate seeing how it ends with her. But also I think that happening to her, I mean, that did not go, we saw that, like, MM's like, dude, we're done. Mm-hmm. Like, that was the final straw, I think, for them. And I'm sure we're going to see the fallout of that, but it's because Kimiko is one of them. Mm-hmm. Like, she's not just the gun. Like, you know, she says, like, you can't use me as your gun. And Butcher's like, yeah, I can. Mm-hmm. And this is just proof that, like, no, you can't.
Yeah.
Like, she's a part of this team, mm-hmm. and you put a member of your team in real danger, kind of, I don't know, just without a whole lot of thought behind it or care even.
Yeah, and she's like a really valuable member too. Like, she's not just a gun, she's a protector, and she serves as a gun to save your life, you know, not to like mm-hmm. make your bargains. And yeah, this is what happens when you treat people like pawns, you know.
Yeah
I think I want to give a shout out to A-Train, but I think I'm going to pick Huey for this one. And we didn't talk about him a ton in our episode, but I think this is a really great performance from Jack Quaid, like just kind of the roller coaster that he goes on through this episode. And I think what really does it for me is just he can't control the smiles, you know, like he mm-hmm. is almost giddy to have this power, you know, and I think he is feeling like a freedom that just kind of lets you know a lot of what he's been repressing for like three seasons, you know, and just the fact that he is understanding of where Starlight is. But yeah, I think he really kind of goes on a roller coaster that we haven't seen from him in a little bit. Like he's kind of, he hasn't been holding the team together, but he's kind of been like, he's been pretty solid for a while too. And I think he's starting to kind of shake apart in this episode too.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about predictions. Rachel, what do you think is going to happen next? And what are you excited to see?
I mean, I'm excited to see Kimiko survive, right? Yes, please. Like, she has to. She has to.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Have you... Yeah. So, we're watching this on Amazon Prime, obviously, because that's where it's streaming. Have you seen the thumbnail screenshot for the next episode?
No. I've been trying really hard not to look at any of that stuff. Even on IMDb, I'm like, don't scroll down.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Don't scroll down. So, I've been trying really hard. I'm assuming just because, like, I have seen, like, the actress, like, she still has posted stuff with them. So I'm assuming that she survives. But I'm very curious. Like, the fallout is what I'm, like, I know it's going to happen within the boys, which is interesting because it wasn't that long ago that we were like, oh, the boys are back, baby. And now they've self-destructed yet again. Mm-hmm. And so I do think that what has happened to her is going to have some pretty serious ramifications. Is Kimiko gonna actually lose her powers? Like, I guess I didn't consider that, like, she might not get them back. Like, that might, it's not like temporary. She might get what she wished for. I don't know.
Throwing the key away.
I'm a little worried about Huey and Butcher because I do think, like you said, how he's like really kind of relishing having this power. It's like, ooh, that can be a pretty intoxicating thing, right? Mm-hmm. Especially, you know, it's like drug use. It's the same thing how A-Train was using V, right? And I mean, they don't have unlimited access to it, kind of like he did, but I'm a little worried that Huey is going to... Or, you know, they might end up relying on that a little too much.
Like they did with Kimiko, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. I'm trying to think, like, what am I excited to see? And I feel like so many of our characters are in, like, really dark places. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if I'm excited to see anything in particular happen with them. Because it's like, ooh, I feel like we're going to see some darker moments yet to come. I am actually really enjoying the Deep and his wife and that whole thing and his, you know, rise back up in the ranks of the Seven. So I hope that gets to continue. And I hope that we get to see the Deep fall flat on his face when his wife is unable to help him in some particular moment. Just see the real Deep shine through yet again.
Exactly.
Because I do predict that that will happen at some point.
Oh, yeah. Because that's just who he is, you know?
Yeah.
Well, all I will say is that the next two episodes are incredible. Lots of really great things are about to happen. For good or bad, great, you know? Mm. And I cannot wait to talk about them. Like, two of my favorite episodes in the series are in our future.
Oh, I am excited to learn about Soldier Boy. I do think that will be coming. And so I am excited to see, like, dude, what's up?
Yeah.
What have you been doing? What have they done to you to learn about that? So yes, I am excited to actually get, because I know they're going to give it to us. Like, give us some Soldier Boy.
Oh, yeah. You don't cast Jensen Ackles without giving us some Jensen Ackles. So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's wrap up with some plugs. Rachel, where can we find you and what do you have coming up?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at the Vinyl Girl, GRRRL. And yeah, a lot of fun stuff coming up on Halloweenies. We just wrapped up recording our coverage for Aliens, ooh, plural, and had so much fun on those eps. I think we're all really, really proud of our Alien coverage so far. I mean, also, it's Alien and Aliens, so, yeah, you know,
a lot of good food
it's not
plot.
Like we're, Yeah, it's not like we're dealing with bad films here or anything. But yeah, so those episodes will be dropping soon. So yeah, you can hear that over on the Halloweenies.
Sweet. And you can find me at Jen Ferratu. And yeah, we are about to wrap up our Bad Romance Month in on the Lady Killers pod, where we are talking about a lot of bad romances and the ladies who kill for them. And then we are going to be talking about hidden horrors with The Descent and The Brood, which was a first watch for me. So ooh, very excited. And lots of really fun stuff over there. Also, find me hosting the Losers Club pod. And Rachel and I are going to be talking about Carrie sometime soon. Yay! Which I'm very excited about. But yeah, if you follow us both, we'll post all of that stuff. And you can also find me on the White Ladies in Crisis podcast, and I convinced them to watch Slumber Party Massacre. So that is our next
movie. Oh my gosh, yay.
I'm so excited. I love that movie so much. And that's it for this episode of The Girls on the Boys. We want to give a huge thank you to the Anatomy of a Scream pod squad. Make sure to check out the other fantastic shows in the feed. And we are going to be back in your ears to talk about episode 5 in 2 weeks. Cannot wait. But until then, remember, you guys, you are the real heroes.
Scream Pod Squad.